How many of you have ever heard of Marshall Keeble? Maybe three, four. Well, Marshall Keeble is going to be our guest speaker today. He was born in Murfreesboro, Tennessee in 1878. His parents were former slaves, and he died in Nashville in 1968, so he was 89 years old when he died. He only finished the seventh grade, but was a constant learner all of his life. He bridged the racial divide before the civil rights movement, and the way that he decided to do his part. And bringing whites and blacks together was not the way that a lot of people wanted him to do it. His first biggest supporter, after he held a meeting in Henderson, Tennessee, was N.B. Hardeman of Freed Hardeman University. He said, "I'm going to support you in whatever way I can." And then after A.M. Burton, the founder of Life and Casualty Insurance Company, heard him preach once. He said, "You'll never have to worry about where your next paycheck is coming from. And wherever you need to go," he said, I'll fund you." Well, he was a great preacher, and he was a great debater in the time when there were a lot of debates happening between all kinds of religious groups. He had founded the Jackson Street Church of Christ in Nashville, and there later founded the Nashville Christian Institute, whose purpose was mainly educating young black men to be preachers. He's credited with baptizing personally over 40,000 people, and was responsible for the conversion of thousands of others. He established the Southwestern Christian College in Terrell, which is still in existence, by the way. He preached all over the world, and he was awarded the Doctorate of Law degree from Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. And he figured he could elevate blacks through the gospel. He figured that their soul was more important than anything else that he could do, making sure that their soul was saved. His most famous sermon was "One More Night with the Frogs." Now, I've heard that sermon twice, never from him, but I heard it in Trinidad and Tobago. Tim, do you remember it? Because he preached that sermon, Mahes did, when we were down there first time. "One More Night with the Frogs." I'll let you guess what that was about. Several books of his sermons have been published, and it isn't hard to find recordings of a few of his sermons. So we're going to listen now to one of his sermons, "The Doctor Who Never Lost a Case," Marshall Keeble.
I want to talk about the great physician tonight. Everybody's sick. We're in a sin-sick world today. Everybody's sick. Everybody loaded with infirmities of some kind. But the sword of the Spirit is here. What for? To cut out the different diseases. Sharp enough to cut out the mourner's bench. Use this sword and cut the mourner's bench out. And you know, I believe the right kind of a preacher can take that bench out without hurting you. I'm not going to hurt any of it, but the bench must come out. And the sword of the Spirit tells you that God don't hear and answer sinners' prayer. He says, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears open to the righteous cry. But he turns his face against him that does evil." So you just might as well surrender and give up the doctrines and commandments of men, and, "Lord, speak, and thy servant will obey." Amen. Now, where does all of these divisions come? False doctrine. Jesus said, sow the seed. What kind of a seed? The seed of the kingdom. Is the word of God, and the seed of the kingdom sown in a man's heart have never made a Baptist. That seed won't make them. You take an ear of corn and cad clean into London and plant it over there, and you get corn. Changing the situation and going into a new country don't give you a different kind of product. That same corn will bring corn in England. Take the word of God, the seed of the kingdom, and in the Africa you make it and sow it, you make Christians. One over to London and you'll make Christians. It won't make nothing else. Seed of the kingdom, and God has ordained that every seed brings seed after its kind. And if you're in the poultry business and you want leggings, white leggings, why, just go on over there and order white leggings from the poultry man, and he'll sell them for so much a setting. And if they hatch out black chickens and you trying to buy white leggings, but do you not know you can go back on him and he'll change if he's honest and said he made a mistake? By those eggs, and every one of those eggs had a white shell around it. Ain't God wonderful to bring a black chicken out of a white shell? He's a wonderful God. And somebody startled, somebody worried about it, no need to worry, that's God's business. He was able to make all of us the various colors that we are, but he gave every man a soul. And Adam and Eve is the father and mother of all of us. That makes us all, as this boy says, have got to love his brother, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we are. All come out of the same shell. And there we are. But now then again, if you want this white legging, or you want the brown legging, you can't go back on the man and say, well, I want white leggings, and you gave me brown. He gave you what you ordered. If you ordered brown leggings, that's what he gave you. And God Almighty is coming back some of these days to judge the quick and the dead, and he's looking for nothing but Christians. Amen. Nothing but Christians, regardless of the color, whoever they are, he's coming back after Christians. The seed of the kingdom only makes Christians. And Jesus, a great physician, came into the world and brought a medicine to heal the sin-sick soul, the chief of sinners. Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was the chief of sinners, and God Almighty had a doctrine here to save the chief. He says, when I heard the gospel, I rose immediately. I got up at once. I didn't murmur. I didn't complain. I rose immediately and was baptized. That's what you ought to do tonight. If you want to be a Christian, you ought to get up immediately. When the invitation's extended, you oughtn't to hesitate. There are men in this asylum could understand it as plain as these boys are presented tonight. Wow, brother, keep it in the asylum. How can they believe it? Well, they tell me the men in the asylum whose minds come and go. He could catch it coming if he lost it going. You see, he could catch it. He could obey the gospel right there. I didn't say he would hold it, but he can understand it. And you that have good minds can understand this gospel. Jesus, the great physician, has the gospel to heal all nations and make us all one in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful gospel this is. Make us all do what else? Speak the same thing. And there'll be no division among us. Apostle Paul asked this question once, is Christ divided? Or was I crucified for him? Or did I baptize any of you in my name? Said, I didn't baptize any into my name. I only baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name. In his name. Last night a young lady obeyed the gospel, but she was baptized in the name of Christ and not the name of John the Baptist. Not in that name, because she could. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. No other name. Somebody said, well, my mama, why are we not discussing your mama? Because your mother didn't die for us. Amen. We're discussing the man that died. My mother was a Christian. How do you know she was? Not if she didn't obey the gospel, the word of God. If she didn't obey that, she is not a Christian. God is no respecter of persons. He wouldn't save your mother and she hadn't obeyed his word. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierce neither body nor son of the soul and the spirit, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God. Word of God's all we want. What will it do? It'll make us all speak the same thing. Make us all, yes, speak the same thing. And all members of the same church, born again and regenerated, and of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I don't see why people hesitate, as plain as the Bible is. Jesus said, search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are thee that testify of me. I want to say again that Jesus is the greatest doctor, the great physician that never lost a case. He came upon a man one time and he was even blind. He spat on the ground and mixed up some clay and anointed his eyes. And the man's eyes come open. Who did it? Jesus. What did he do it with? Mud and spit. Made it up, and the man stood there and took it. Been some of us smart aleks today, we'd ask, what is that? Well, I don't want no spit in my eyes. So dignified. Lost your ear, it wouldn't have got his sight, would it? No, he stood there and let him do it. You ought to stand tonight and let him lead you down the aisle. Lead you down to the preacher and be buried with him in baptism and lead your fathers and your mothers and your husbands and your wives and say, Lord, speak, and thy servant will obey. In the one way. Amen. The great physician. You know, sometimes we go to these stores, Piggly Wiggly we used to have, and you know, you used to have to stand around for a few hours sometimes, or maybe an hour, trying to get waited on. But you don't have to do that now. You just step in there and everything's a label. Just push your buggy right on around there and load it up. And don't have to say he wouldn't wait on me. He didn't treat me right. Ain't that wonderful? God's got the same thing. You don't have to get into a church. Just go in there and get in the right church and roll around and get the right label. The right label. Go ahead. And another thing, would you look silly in the store down there on the floor praying and the goods on the shelf? You look silly. The goods are on the shelf. Get up, man, read the label. Then another thing, somebody said, I want green peas. Well, you don't have to go around that field in the can. Green peas feel just like corn. You could kill them by feelings. You know what you do? Read your label. The contents of that can is on that label. The contents of what church to get in is labeled in this book. Don't be feeling for it. Get the label. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Get the label, brother, and don't lay down and wallet and try to find out what church mama died in. That ain't on the label. So can down and read the label. And after you get all in your basket you can get, and your heart is your basket, then someday you're going to have to roll your buggy on up to the judgment. And somebody's sitting there at the cash register. You bring it out of way. And whatever you got in your basket, one lick and it flips up there. That's it. Is that right? They don't need to stand down there arguing. I don't think it's that much. Why, that adding machine, it ain't no... That adding machine is not a typewriter. It's an adding machine. Tells you the total. Is that right? When we stand in the judgment to be judged by our stewardship, Jesus is going to start on the adding machine. Bam! Depart! You didn't do what I tell you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for you didn't do what I told you. Admission. Then you go to argue with the man about that adding machine. You know what he'll tell you? I don't care what you say. Get your pencil and paper. But I want you to know that that adding machine don't lie. Standing in the judgment before God. Almighty, son, I don't need the book right now. I'm preaching. See, he kind of bothered me. But anyway, when you go up there to that ad machine at the final judgment, when you go up there to the ad machine at the final judgment, and Jesus said, depart from me, don't get angry. Don't get angry. You could have went up there and got it off the shelf. Went and got the wrong thing. Now you come. Then there's somebody else down there rolling, wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God didn't tell you to pray for the Holy Spirit to come down. Oh, I see these dancing sanctified, dancing and down rolling and foaming at the mouth. Get up, get up. Let the Holy Spirit that brought this thing down here, let him tell you what to do. And when you go down in the water of baptism, you're washed, washed, sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word. That's the way it's done, Church of Christ. And there's no need of having a spasm over this. No need to keep your right mind. But when somebody gets a shouting and rolling all around at the floor and they like they got the Holy Ghost, you're excited. Keep cool, whatever you do, sober-minded. Become a member of the church that was bought with the blood of Christ and tell them to stop rolling you. Tell them, I don't want to get a religion like that. I want to walk out on God's word and I want the great physician to give me the medicine. I want the medicine from him. Take a dose of hearing. Take a dose of repentance. Take a dose of confession. Take a dose of baptism. Wash every sin away. What are we doing then? You obey the great physician. Amen. Jesus said, without faith it is impossible to please him. And except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot even enter the kingdom. Can't even see the kingdom of heaven. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. I hope somebody's in the audience tonight that's willing to walk out on God's word and turn your back on the doctrines and commandments of men. And so, Lord, speak, and thy servant will obey. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open, he says, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. The spirit of the bride says, come. And I believe somebody in this audience tonight is ready. Somebody that has once been baptized and been a member of the Church of Christ and drifted back in the world. Like the prodigal son, you ought to say this to yourself, I will arise and go to my heavenly Father. I trample under his feet, his word under my feet long enough. I have put him to an open shame. I've disgraced the Church of Christ. I come, O Lord. I repent of my sins. I confess I've sinned. I come back begging God and asking the church to pray for me. Won't you do that tonight? Won't you do that? I hope somebody's here. Somebody willing to come. Somebody willing to be buried with Christ so your sins can be washed away. And let God add you to his church. The great physician said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Now, not tomorrow, is acceptable time. Today is a day of salvation. Won't you come? The Spirit and the bride says, come. Why not accept him while we all stand and sing?
I hope you didn't mind listening to a sermon that was probably preached back in about 1966. And he held meetings all over the place. You notice he said something about the boys. These are the young men from the Institute that he would go out and do meetings with, and they would preach before he did. And then he would kind of end the meeting with a sermon about like this. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servants who have preached your word over the years, people like Marshall Keeble and others. We think of one preacher that, Rule Emmons, that was an elder here at this congregation that preached all over the world and led many people to Christ also. We thank you that for Ron, who preaches here for us nearly every Sunday, and we pray that he's enjoying his vacation. But what Marshall said in that sermon back 60 years ago still applies today. We go to the great physician, You're the great physician. You sent your son to this earth to die for our sins. There's only salvation in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a reason to come forward this morning, please do so as we sing the song of invitation.